You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Tuesday, May 22nd. I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog. On today's show, I am recapping the Cavs' Game 4 win over the Boston Celtics. They won that game 111-102. They tied the series up at 2-2, taking the series back to Boston and effectively making it a 3-game playoff to see who is going to go to the East, to the NBA Finals and representing the Eastern Conference. Today's show is a quarter-by-quarter breakdown of the game, so first quarter through the fourth quarter, as well as a look ahead at what's to come. More coming on the show this week, X's and O's and a bunch of breakdowns, as well as some draft insight coming on Locked On Cavs this week. But today's show is all about Game 4 and how the Cavs picked up another win at home against a Celtics team that definitely played better than it did in Game 3, but still was not enough for LeBron James and company. If you want to support Locked On Cavaliers, the best way to do that is by going on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, etc., wherever you listen to podcasts, and leaving a 5-star rating and review. You can find Locked On Cavs on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, Overcast, and a variety of other places where you can listen to podcasts. Leave that 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me a picture of that review to lockdowncavs@gmail.com or tweet it to @lockdowncavs. You'll get a guaranteed slot in our next mailbag with that review, or if you just want to support the show, do that there. And you can also leave your question in your 5-star rating and review. But without further ado, let's get into this game, which again, the Cavs won 111-102 to even the series at 2-2. You go into the second quarter with the Cavs starting with Korver, LeBron, Nance Green, and Clarkson. This would be the only stretch of the game where we saw Jordan Clarkson. He played just 4 minutes. This was a game where there was no Rodney Hood either, so that sort of tells you where both of those guys are at right now. I think it's a good thing for them. Not a good quarter for Clarkson. We're not going to talk about him really at all beyond this. There's no really reason to, but just point out this. Clarkson ran one pick and roll. One whopping pick and roll as the lead ball handler, and he threw a turnover. It just threw the ball away. Absolutely just tried to throw a pass and just muffed it. So, out on Jordan Clarkson, as if you didn't know that already if you listen to this podcast or follow me on Twitter. But the Cavs continued some of what worked for them, I thought, in this quarter. Now, there were some things that obviously didn't particularly work perfectly. Some of the lineup switching in and out were a little bit odd. I thought you ended up in situations where Jeff Green was guarding Al Horford for a stretch. Boston doesn't totally take advantage of that. I thought for whatever reason they just didn't or couldn't, but that the Cavs kind of lucked out there. You had LeBron getting an offensive foul here. You had Kevin Love continuing to get in foul trouble. But the Cavs do a good job overall of pushing their lead up in this quarter. You have Kyle Korver playing some really good defense that forces misses and leads to turnovers. You have Korver forcing just bad shots that are not allowing Marcus Smart to take advantage of him. Korver has this 8-point stretch where he has a 3-pointer at one point. Then in the next Cavs possession, another 3-pointer gets them up to 17. He has 11 points already in this game. J.R. Smith finds Thompson for a lob with 6:52 to go. And you can keep going, and you can look at some in Boston's getting maybe a little bit more of a rhythm. Rozier had some good moments in this quarter. Marcus Morris had a three that got the game within 10 with 4:18 to go. But the Cavs just responded at every time here. This is something that didn't necessarily happen to this degree later, but you see the Cavs, again, Marcus Morris hits a three with 4:18 to go. The Cavs push their lead back up to 14 by the 2:12 mark. LeBron hits a one-legged fadeaway over Semi Ojeleye with 1:01 to go in the quarter, and it goes up to 18. They're very close at this point to just a couple things go a little bit differently, and this is a 20-point lead. It does get cut down to 13 at the half, and that sets the tone for Boston to make this a game. It makes it end up being a single-digit game going into the fourth quarter, but the Cavs, not to the degree that they did at the end of quarter one where they rode that momentum all the way out, but you saw the same thing here. They turned smart defense, from guys like Korver, from guys like Tristan Thompson, from pretty much the whole team that was playing, and turned it into good offense and got efficient buckets. These were not, you know, necessarily as much distribution from LeBron as we saw in Game 3. I think his three turnovers are an indication that this wasn't LeBron picking guys open, and he actually tied for the team lead in assists, despite the fact that he only had three, which is a little bit bizarre. And as a team in this game, the Cavs only had 15 assists on their 41 field goal make, so take that for what you will. But this quarter, the second quarter, I thought was a more good work from the Cavs. You saw them get stuff out of JR, stuff out of Thompson, a lot of really good work out of Korver, pushing that lead up and up and up, responding to some adversity. And yes, only taking a 13-point lead into the half was not perfect, but you had all these guys, Thompson, JR, Korver, etc., pushing things forward, LeBron capping it off, and they take a lead into the at half. This was a good first half for the Cavs. It sets them up to kind of withstand some of the force that's coming for them, and some of the changes Boston makes. But again, in this quarter, they do a good job of containing Al Horford. He's not really been a factor in this game just yet. He's going to be, but right now they're doing a good job of continuing that game through strategy on Al. And you see, it results in them as a big reason why they take a 13-point lead into the second half with LeBron leading the way. Third quarter, the first thing that happens is Kevin Love is scored on by Al Horford. They make it a point to run some off-ball screens, and Horford gets posted a post versus Love. He scores. 10:43, you see the same thing. They post him up versus Love. They do some, again, off-ball screening to get him match up with Love, and he doesn't score here, but he's still working on it. This was not something they continued to do as much later. Some of this is because Kevin Love was out with foul trouble until the fourth quarter. He ends up picking his fifth foul at 7:40 to go in the third. Sits out for a long stretch of time. He did score on him at different points, but this was not something they hunted down later. I would expect to see this in game five, game six, game seven. I do think you're going to see more of this off-ball movement to try to force these matchups that Boston wants and sort of needs if they're going to win the series. Boston makes this closer in this quarter because they just kind of made some, I think, smart adjustments. They made some moves to get attacking these different matchups that didn't work for them with the Cavs. They got the Cavs in the penalty, were just a little bit more aggressive, handled this game with more poise than I think we saw from them in Game 3, where they just seemed to be a little shell-shocked. I think this was a team that handled a lot of what was coming at them well. Boston is able to get this within single digits. The Cavs lead by 13, and they were able to respond well, and we're going to get into how they did that here in a second, but they did get this within single digits. They made this a little bit more competitive in the third quarter with Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, I think, doing some of the best work. 3:41 to go, for example, it's Jason Tatum scoring, and it's an 8-point game. And this is where the Cavs, I think, started to respond. This is one of the areas that, again, Brad Stevens references as a place where the Cavs won the game. So you have Jaylen Brown picks up his fourth foul. LeBron goes to the line with 3:19 to go. He makes one of two. It goes up to 9. Tatum gets called for an offensive foul with 3:09. Blows it. 2:59. Smart is called for an offensive foul. Tristan goes to the line. Splits the pair. Pushes up to a 10-point lead. 2:19 to go. It's back down to 8. But then the Cavs start to take advantage. LeBron misses. Larry Nance, who's in for Thompson at this point, and it was off a really bad Jeff Green pass to LeBron, gets the offensive rebound, gets the N1. He makes the free throw. The Cavs go back up by 11. The very next possession, 15 seconds later on game time, Nance gets the steal versus Marcus Smart on a switch. George Hill gets the ball. He drives down the floor. He throws a blade. He doesn't get it, but Nance gets the offensive glass. But some doesn't work in the offensive glass. Gets the rebound, goes up, is fouled by Aaron Baines, and then makes the two free throws. He pushes the lead to 13. LeBron, after a stop, then scores a Marcus Morris. It's a 15-point Cavs lead. Nance then blocks Tatum on a dunk attempt. The Cavs don't push the lead any higher than that 15 points in the third quarter, and they lead only by 13 going into the fourth, but they handled this Boston run that got within single digits and pushed them back. They gave themselves some breathing room heading into the fourth. giving LeBron a little bit of wiggle room, not being able to withstand not having Kevin Love, who didn't really ever settle to rhythm in this game. This Cavs team showed some resiliency in this third quarter and handling that and that Boston push that came, handled that more paused Boston team, and then was able to hold on to that lead, giving LeBron some support and getting, again, good minutes from guys with Larry Nance, to me, being the star of that quarter. This was a Larry Nance game and a string of Larry Nance games where he has just been fantastic. I think Nance has really started to turn some of his struggles around. He looks more like the guy that he was pre-hamstring injury than he did post that injury right when he came over. That's the type of guy you're seeing right now. And all credit to him for taking advantage of the opportunity he has. But the Cavs lead by 13 heading into the fourth. Okay, fourth quarter, the Cavs start with Kevin Love is back. He's with Hill, Green, Nance, and Korver. The Cavs do okay in the beginning of this quarter to start off with. You have a really nice pull-up jumper from Hill. It's a 12-point lead for the Cavs after Boston did some good work to start the quarter. Love in the next possession after Boston scored does hit a three-pointer. It's a 13-point lead. He Love misses a couple shots here as LeBron is working closer to coming back in. Jaylen Brown starts to have a little bit more success against Kyle Korver, who they started hunting down a little bit more ruthlessly and effectively later in this game. To Tom Westerholm, who's a really good writer at MassLive.com, and who I actually got to meet in person at this game for the first time, he had this tweet that I thought was pretty funny. Watching the Celtics try to cut into this lead is like watching someone try to blow out a trick candle. He tweets this in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and that's very much sums up that they just keep pushing and pushing, but it's just not really a real push. But they do get it within eight points with 8:29 to go. So LeBron has to call a timeout. The Cavs are on the verge. They push this up to a 15-point lead in this opening bit. They seem to be in a position where LeBron maybe gets to rest a little bit. They hold them out a little bit longer. They get to have a lead, and then they blow it. They go from having a positive net rating as a group to being a negative with the Love and those guys on the floor at the time. But LeBron comes back, and then they start to just kind of withstand and handle things as Boston throws it at them. For several minutes, they're leading somewhere in the 11 range. They're getting good stuff from basically everybody, right? Like, they're getting stuff from LeBron. They're getting stuff from Love. Tristan and Nance are both giving good minutes. George Hill is doing a really nice job of kind of keeping the offense flowing a little bit. Basically, the daggers in this game come late. So LeBron James, at one point, it's only a 9-point lead. After a little bit, it gets within 7 at 6:55 to go after Aaron Baines had missed a split of pair of free throws after he was fouled. Love on the next possession gets a putback, and then LeBron scores on an outlet pass from Love on a rebound back up to 11. Boston has to call a timeout. Does get cut down to 7 again with 4:29 to go, but then Tristan scores, goes back up to 9. JR plays some great defense. LeBron just destroys Boston on his own. Boston has to call another timeout. The Cavs are by 11. It does not get closer than that until Boston hits a two-point shot near the end of the game when it was garbage time and the game was already decided. The Cavs just responded to everything that they did. They lead by as many as 14 in this bit. And again, this was not as dominant as that first quarter at the end. It was not as dominant as the third quarter at the end, where I think Brad Stevens is right in saying that's where this game was won and lost. But the Cavs handled that pressure, responded to it, did what worked for them, and get out of there with the win. LeBron checks out. He has 42 points in the night. By far leads the team, leads all scorers in this game. But the Cavs end up 2-2 in front of a crowd that was a little nervous, you could tell, but I think ultimately was pretty confident where this was going and handled a lot of the stuff that the stressors that Boston sort of put them through. And the Cavs as a team, I thought, handled this well, showed some resiliency, were just competent in ways, and were able to withstand what was actually a close game for maybe the first time in either of these conference finals. So I think a really good four-quarter effort for the Cavs gets them a win in a 2-2 series tie. So now the series shifts back to Boston. Game 5 Wednesday, Game 6 Friday back in Cleveland, and then a possible Game 7 would be Sunday in Boston. There are adjustments the Cavs are going to have to make. I wouldn't be shocked if Aaron Baines starts for Boston. Baines was a plus 10 with Horford in this game as a duo, so maybe we see more of that going forward. They're going to do some more off-ball movement to try to get Al better looks. They're gonna do a variety of things. The Cavs are going to have some counters for that. I thought some of the little minor things that Ty Lue did in this game, and like getting Jeff Green in there and having him guard Al and dealing with that, was not particularly great. I think the Cavs also got an idea of what Boston is going to do in an effort to avoid some of these mismatches. Now, for example, the Cavs really hunted down this Terry Rozier switch. They tried to get Love, LeBron, Tristan Thompson had a really nice moment doing this against Rozier, getting these post-ups against Rozier. It was a big part of their offense. Boston made an adjustment in the third quarter to do some scram switching, which means that once a guy is in close enough distance, they basically just swap out defenders, and the guy who is guarding who's getting switched on to another player has to sprint somewhere else. So in Boston's case, they're getting they're a smaller guard, so in specifically Rozier, off of LeBron, who's just going to bulldoze them in the post, and try to dish with Love as well, and slot Horford in there, Marcus Smart in there. I would expect to see more of that. I don't know how much we're going to see blitzing or trapping for them, but I do think we're going to see some of the switches to avoid some of the mismatches that the Cavs are hunting in there, and they show how ruthlessly they're going to chase down Rozier. But if you're the Cavs, you come out of this game, I think, feeling much better than you did. I think you're in a better position to handle what's coming next, to have a position to still advance out of this series, to get to another finals, because you've made it 2-2. It's not 3-1 going back to Boston. Winning in Boston is going to be a task, but this team, I think, is playing much better basketball than it was in games 1 and game 2. We'll see if they can keep it up. I think that it's on them now to perform in game 5. I would imagine game 5 is going to be raucous, but an easier environment for them to win in. But it's going to be fascinating to see. And the Cavs, again, survived. They're on to play another game. They're on to take advantage of maybe putting Boston on its heels a little bit. But now they have to go into enemy territory and try to replicate the effort we've seen from them these last two games. But a 2-2 series lead for them, no matter if there's some concerns about what they're going to do on the road here and what they're going to get out of JR and Korver and all these guys and how healthy they're going to be. And if we see Rodney Hood or Jordan Clarkson again, how much role is Jeff Green going to play, etc. They are in a position now, at least, where they don't have to just win every game. They can take a lump. They can handle some of the stressors, and it'll be interesting to see where the Cavs go from here and see if they can pull off the comeback from being down 2-0 to now being tied 2-2 with a good shot at maybe picking up a series win here. So that is going to be it for today's show. Again, find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMRights. Find the pod on Twitter and Facebook at LockedOnCavs. Cleveland picks up a 9-point win in Game 4, ties this series at 2-2. Today's show is all about the quarter-by-quarter breakdown of Cavs-Celtics Game 4. Find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever you get your podcasts. Find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrites. The show is on Twitter and Facebook at LockedOnCavs, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Thanks for listening.